The second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is that it's free to play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and search the whole wide variety of free contests and an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot. Add up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The North Final is set. Oh boy, and the Canes, I think they're donezo. They are done for. Tampa's too strong. They're out in four. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Kawano Parts. Now open Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail, Northwest. Katie's there laughing already. It's Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you. What's going on? Let's snap it over to BC. What's happening?
In four, you're a maniac. What a wild card.
I got to play the sweeps because, hey, I picked the Oilers to sweep, and I really meant they were going to get swept.
Oh, okay. I see the mistake there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a clear mistake. Hey, big show lined up for you today. We got Jamie Lee Lantry coming on here, PWHPA star in Toronto there. Then coming up later, cards are flying everywhere. It's hot outside. No AC in here. I got the fans going. So yeah, be ready for stuff just to be flying everywhere. Yeah. We got CJ Meritaro, head coach, Sacred Heart University, coming up later on at about 20 minutes time. Then it's Rod Black from TSN. Everyone knows him. Everyone loves him. He's covering the IIHF awards. Canada's going to be playing Russia. It's going to be a blast. Let's kick it off, though. Brought to you by Lord Co. Auto Parts, household name across Western Canada since 1974. Lord Co. Open 7 days a week. Whatever you need, car, RV, boat, anything. Exceptional customer experience right there. Lord Co. Auto Parts. Visit them today for the best products and the best prices and service at lordco.com. Let's bring her on. It's Jamie Lee Rattray, PWHPA. Hey, Jamie, thanks for taking time this morning here. I guess it's afternoon for you there. But I wanted to ask, I mean, obviously, huge event just wrapped up, the Secret Cup in Calgary. What was it like playing there? What was it like as a player? And I mean, come on, I think the production was amazing. The exposure was amazing. So it must have been a pretty cool event for you.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I think for a lot of us, it's been a long time coming to, you know, compete. It's been almost, I mean, what now, like over 15 months since this pandemic happened, started. So it was awesome to get out as a group out in Calgary, and we were kind of in a bubble style event. So we had to do the usual quarantine when we got there. But once we kind of got out of that and got on the ice, it was really awesome. And, you know, as a group in Toronto, we haven't really had a chance to, you know, to practice or play a ton. So it just was, there was a lot of excitement around the week, and overall I had a blast. So.
Jamie, I'm so pumped you're here with us today. That video, first, I want to talk about this. That video of you vibing out to Aerosmith, I died. you're such a joy to watch. You have, like, I have so much fun watching you play. You have so much fun out there. How are you feeling heading into the summer?
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm a big 80s music fan, so when it plays during warm-up, I kind of can't not sing along. So, I don't know. I think, you know, it was kind of a nice way to finish off the, I mean, I guess season. It was, you know, kind of like everything this year was kind of hit and miss. I was lucky enough to, you know, do a couple camps with the national team and at least continue training. But, you know, it was a ton of fun, and I'm excited to kind of, you know, go into the off season here, take a little bit of time off, and then get right back into training heading into a centralization year with the national team. So I don't know. I'm excited for the summer, but maybe a shorter one than I would like, but good way to finish it off. That's for sure.
Hey, better than not playing. I mean, so Jamie, I want to ask about a certain coach of yours. So you and Laura McIntosh won a Clarkson Cup with the Thunder together in 2019, and now you're a play on her bench. So what is that like? What have you learned from her?
I mean, it's pretty awesome. I think it's pretty neat. You know, I think it's happened probably in the NHL too, as well, is that like you can have that relationship with someone where you were a teammate, and now having her as a coach. And I've always respected the way she viewed the game and how she played the game. So I think for me, at least, it was a pretty easy transition to have her on the bench. And, you know, she could tell me anything she wanted. I would listen to her. I think she's a pretty great hockey mind. And I think it was awesome for her. She's still a young coach in the hockey world. I think it was really awesome for her to be behind the bench and get the exposure that she did, because she really does deserve it. And, you know, I think a lot of us enjoyed having her back there, and I really hope that from here on, I hope she gets a lot of opportunities, because she definitely does deserve it.
Jamie, I got to ask, because Katie brought up music, what's on the playlist pregame then? We love asking, you know, players this. What's on the pregame playlist?
Like, I don't know. Do people divulge their secrets? No. I mean, I'm actually the DJ in the room, so.
Oh, that's a big role.
It's a big role, but I actually quite enjoy it. Like I kind of sit, my part of my pregame routine actually is sitting there making a new playlist before each game, because you can't have the same songs playing over and over again. Right. But,
debatable.
Yeah, it depends on who you are. I guess. For me and my own headphones on the way on the bus, usually I'm more of like, I don't know. I kind of like some Eminem, a little bit of dance, but Cinderella Man is kind of like my one go-to song by Eminem. It's, I don't know. It's got a good one. I guess I do listen to that one probably before every game. You know, I can listen. But for the girls, you got to change it up, because, you know, who knows? If you win the night before, maybe you can play a little bit of the same. But no, it's a lot of fun. So I enjoy that side of it.
Good to know the classics are still living on. Cinderella Man, Lose Yourself. Those are, I don't think they'll, you know, ever get old. I mean, in the rap music game. Hey, I know you also played with Olivia Howe, Shelby Nisbet at Clarkson, you know, good Sasky kids, of course. What were they like? I mean, my sister played with Nisbet Howe. She's coaching in the JAW right now. That's awesome to see. But like, I mean, what were they like? You got to have a funny story for us here.
Oh man. Well, they both are pretty awesome people. I mean, everyone from Sasky I've met have been awesome people, but I mean, Shelby was actually in my class, so I got a chance to play with Shelby for 4 years, and that kid was literally the nuts and bolts of our team. She would block any shot with any part of her body. It didn't matter, and she would go out and do it again the next shift. And kind of a cool routine that Shelby did before the game. I don't know if it's a story, but kind of unleash her secrets here in college. But she used to like wait like 8 minutes right before the game to get ready. So she used to go out and sit on the bench at Clarkson, and one of our backup goalies would be fully dressed. They would sit out there on the bench for like probably 5 minutes, you know, listening to music or just chatting or whatever. And then you'd see Shelby sprint into the dressing room to get ready with like 8 minutes left. And she never was late ever. Like, it gave me stress. Like, I don't like to get ready too early, but like I give myself at least like maybe 10 to 15 minutes. Like, she used to sprint in the room and she never was late. Like, never put anyone behind. It was insane. But that was kind of her routine that I always thought was really funny. So,
Katie, you got anything so awesome. Else? For Jamie while yeah. she's here?
Just one more. Habs and Jets. Who's coming out of the North, Jamie?
Oh, man. I think the Jets. I mean, I don't know. Both goalies are playing really well right now. Like, I, you know, as a Torontonian now, I was obviously pulling for the Leafs. But I don't know. I think the Jets' depth up front is just too strong. I think you got some really good boards there. And I mean, then again, if the Canadians can shut down Marner and Matthews, maybe they can shut down the Jets. But I'm going to take the Jets in six. That's going to be my go-to.
Sounds like one that everyone is definitely going with. You got any picks for the other series? Any bold Stanley Cup predictions while we're talking NHL?
Yeah, well, I actually picked Vegas to win. And... But I don't know, Colorado that's going to be a fun series to watch too. So I don't know. I think Vegas could pull it out, but also Colorado. So I don't know if that's a pick, but one of those two. How about that?
We love that. Jamie. Oh, go ahead, Cody.
Anything else? No. I was just going to thank you for coming off. If you got something else, go for it. You can wrap. It's all good.
No, that was literally it. I'm just so pumped anytime we can talk women's hockey, and it's always a joy to see you. And I'm so grateful you were able to come on today.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. And anytime you need to chat women's hockey, I'm always around. So great chat.
Really appreciate that, Jamie. Right there, Jamie Rattray coming on PWHPA. She's a star. I mean, come on. Like, the numbers she can put up. Her college numbers, too. I think, was it her senior year? She had, like, 66 points. Like, give me a break.
Ridiculous.
That's... And she just,
it was like I said to her, when you watch her, she just has so much fun. Like, she's smiling and laughing out there, and, like, a bit sassy. Like, her vibe, it's immaculate. And then she backs it up on the score sheet. She's just such a wonderful person to have around. So good.
I can get down with anyone who vibes to music in warmups, because that's the best part about hockey. You can ask anyone who really played. And I'm telling you, I mean, if there's music bumping, there's fans around there, you can just feel that energy. Warmups are just as fun as the game almost. That's honestly what it feels like as a player, where you're like, this is just the time. You can just relax. You know, you're playing the best game in the world and you're getting ready for it. So that was awesome. I mean, some good answers there too about, you know, talking about, hey, this was awesome. It was a little short though, but I think if they're able to build off this, I think you're able to speak to this a little bit better. I believe that events like this in, you know, true professional settings done right is going to lead to more exposure for the women's game, and it's going to lead to more opportunities like this. Not that the American stops for the PWHPA weren't as they weren't as good as Calgary, but now I think if they say, hey, this is what a Canadian market can do next year, maybe we go, not the ACC. I always forget what the rink in Toronto is. But, I mean, you got the Bell Centre. You got Rogers Arena. There's so many other Canadian markets, I think, that they could take what they did in Calgary to. And I think it's a bigger success in Canada than the States. That's just what it is. Hockey's Canada's game.
I agree and I disagree. I think, because I watched all the games across through the whole tour, and just the energy, it was different in every arena, but... Man, like, I'm just so pumped that it's happening. I'm so pumped that the PWHPA has come together. And I actually did a show with Jamie Renata Fast and Shay Tiley the weekend before the Clarkson Cup. And then the league folded a couple of weeks later. So it was a pretty unique time when we met. But yeah, I'm happy it has a direction now. The PWHPA, I think, is just the best thing for women's hockey. But yeah, more things like the Secret Dream Gap Tour, way more things like that. The showcase is so awesome.
Okay, I don't know how much you follow in lacrosse. Obviously, the PLLs really changed the field lacrosse game in the States, where they are doing those stops similar to what the PWHPA is doing. Do you think that's the near future for women's hockey? Do you think if they say, hey, we're going to have 10 or 12 stops in NHL cities, do you think that is the next closest thing that they're going to get to in a league with the top players? I'm not meaning your second tier players. I'm meaning the best of the best. Maybe you put together four teams and you say, hey, this weekend you're going to Calgary. This weekend you're going to Nashville. Shout out Nashville for you. This weekend you're going to Vegas. I mean, do you think that's the future? Because I do. I personally do. I think that's how you're going to get butts in the seats. And I think that's how you're going to get exposure to all of North America, not just certain areas.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's such a unique time right now because the PWHPA exists and then the NWHL is still functioning as a league. And I think as long as they're operating independently, like, we're still in a transition with women's hockey right now, but at least the conversation is carrying on. And I think that's what's important. So everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants a sustainable and successful league for women's hockey. So I think the move is to carry on the path that they're on. And especially like when an NHL team would sign on and then more going, okay, now the Flames, now this. Like, I think NHL teams are getting it, that it's smart to invest in women's sports right now. Which, and exactly, always for the rest of time.
Right now. No, not I couldn't just say right it. I couldn't say that any better. Hey, I mean, let's get into some NHL news here for Pro Rock Hockey 6. Pro Rock Hockey 6, family-owned Canadian company, changing the hockey stick game. Pro Rock offers a top-of-the-line twig, fraction of the cost, not even close. I've been using now. I will never go back to one of the big companies. Pro Rock, lighter, more balanced, and at the best price point when it comes to top of the line sticks. Check them out today, prorock.com. NHL, obviously, I mean, we're not just going to sit here and play violin for some of the teams that have been knocked out. I want to talk about what's coming up because we've got some great series, and I'm sorry, Jets, Habs in the North. You're probably the, you know, the quarterfinal I'm looking forward to the least. I get it. It's the Canadian teams. But again, what matchups we've got. You've got the Avs in Vegas. The Avs just absolutely buried Vegas in game number one. The Canes are done. I mean, Tampa's too good. And then the Isles and Bruins. We talked about it on, you know, the last show. Is Sorokin your guy, or do you have to give the team some confidence and say, hey, Varlamov, he's done it for this long. We got to give him another crack at it. They did. They beat the Bruins in game two. I want your thoughts on that series because, hey, you know, Boston, they looked unstoppable in game one, and game two, they had no business even forcing overtime.
Oh, see, I don't agree with that. I think they could have and probably should have won that game. They needed to be more disciplined. They took some dumb penalties and they had a lot of bad bounces. Like, it wasn't just that they weren't showing up. A lot of it was just kind of bad puck luck, and that happens. And I don't like to blame losses on that. They know how to come back from a loss. So I'm interested to see how they come back from it. I think these teams are constructed in a fairly similar way, but I will always give Boston a bit of the edge in it. But yeah, I don't think that they didn't have business forcing overtime.
Varlamov shouldn't allow those last two goals. Those are goals NHL goalies need to stop.
Right, and they are, but I'm speaking about the play of the Bruins outside of those two occurrences.
They're down 3-1. How late into the third period? I don't know. I think if the Islanders got elite-level goaltending, not just above average, it's a 3-1 game, probably 4-1 with an empty netter, and we don't sniff overtime. That's how I see it. Again, I've been wrong once or twice in my life. But, okay, let's move on. Tampa, I mean, they get outshot heavily by the Canes, but I've said it before. You can call the Canes' offense underrated all you want. End of the day, they're still not an elite-level NHL offense. They're good. They're way above average. But they are not the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa's battle-tested. Tampa's got the better goaltender. Tampa's got the better defense. At the end of the day, Tampa's got the more clutch players.
See, we've always disagreed on the Canes because I think they're just such a well-rounded, solid team. Like, they're solid all around. They've got depth. They've got goaltending. They've got defense.
Well, zeros are pretty round.
Yeah. Rod the Bod, I will bring him up every single show. Rod the Bod said it best. He said he didn't think they were outmatched because everybody's been saying that. And I fundamentally agree with him. These two teams, like I just said about the Isles and Bruins, I think these teams are constructed in a fairly similar way too. I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope for the Canes moving forward only because of the circumstances. If it was 1-1, fine. But down to, like, going into Tampa in this situation, I don't have a whole lot of hope for them just because you're going up against Vasilevsky. I have way more faith in Vasilevsky than Nedeljkovic. But I have so much fun watching the Canes offense. Like, what am I missing with you that you don't see it?
I mean, they didn't score in game two. I'll start there. But again, hey, I'll give them credit. They do have a pretty good home atmosphere, but if you don't take advantage of that home crowd, what good are you? Now you're going back to the Amalie Arena where you know it's going to be rocking. I mean, it's the Thunderdome. It's the Bolts. They're going back home. They're buzzing. Could I see a sweep? Yeah, I really don't see how. I wonder if they go back to Mrazek, but that's a story for another time. We got to head off to a commercial break here. We're talking NHL news for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. When we come back, let's dive down south, talk some college hockey. Won't you hit us up on Twitter anytime at World Hockey RPT. It's Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you on this Wednesday morning. Hey, we love our college hockey down in the States. And hey, when this guest said he's coming on, we knew this was the perfect opportunity with so on down there. What's going on? Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you here. World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts, the one-stop shop for quality car, RV, and truck parts. Check them out today, lordco.com. Our next guest brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, the drink of summer. Weather's getting nicer, need something to sip on while swinging the sticks, lighting up the barbecue, watching the playoffs. Refreshingly different Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, new cans in Canada, and flavors are next. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, you will not be disappointed. Our next guest, CJ Martello, from Sacred Heart University, the head coach there, CJ. We appreciate you hopping on here, and I'm going to dive right into it because, hey, it's been a little bit of an interesting time out in the Atlantic hockey world. Robert Morris University, it's unfortunate. They cancel their teams. I want to know your thoughts because this is something, whether you look at Alabama Huntsville, whether you look at Alaska, there's programs being dropped, and it sucks for the college hockey world, but I want to get your take on it.
Yeah, no question. It sucks for college hockey. It sucks for hockey in general. But, you know, it came as a shock, the Robert Morris one. I'm obviously closer to that situation because they're in our league. Shocking probably doesn't even explain it the best. I mean, RMU, their hockey program, was such an asset to their school. Derek Schooley did a terrific job. They were always very competitive. They've gone to the NCAA tournament and represented their university with class. It's just a sad day. I feel for the coaches. I feel for the players, everybody involved, their alums, you know, all these guys that played and the women 15 years from now, they're going to go back. They don't have an alumni game to go play to, which is, it's a sad thing.
It's definitely not something we want to see, especially with the growth of the game. We're trying to grow it, not be taking things away. But Sacred Heart just broke ground on a new rank worth a cool $70 million. CJ, what does this mean for not just the team, but for the community?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an arena that I think will bring a lot of pride to the Fairfield community, youth hockey, figure skating, learn to skate programs. I think Sacred Heart will be right at the forefront of that. And it'll also bring our Sacred Heart community itself. It'll be a beautiful place for everybody to convene, and you know, we'll put on a good show for them there, and they'll have some fun.
So I want to ask you about the Atlantic Hockey Association as a whole. You guys were speaking about the RMU situation. Obviously, yeah. This year's wild, and there have been a ton of snags all around. But the conference seems to be on the rise in popularity.
Yeah, I mean, we have some very dynamic teams in our league, you know, from all parts of New England and upstate New York. I think it's a sense of pride with all those schools. The hockey is important. There's a lot of new facilities being built within our league, which creates a much better fan experience, a much better experience for the student athletes themselves. In our league, it's a hard league, top to bottom. There's no easy games. And, you know, AIC, who has won our league the past couple of years, they've really done well in the NCAA tournament when they've gotten there. So I think our league is on the rise, and I think in time we'll have more than one team in the NCAA tournament.
CJ, I got to ask, and I love talking to college coaches about this. Yeah. Well, actually, no. Before we get there, hey, what's with the, you know, lack of Saskatchewan and Alberta people on the roster? Why do you hate Saskatchewan and Alberta? No, CJ, I'm giving you a hard time there. Hey, recruiting players.
We love them.
hey, recruiting players, though, there's so many junior leagues now, and it kind of goes the same for professional, just making that next step. How do you as a coach kind of assess these players when you're taking guys from so many different leagues and they're playing so many different styles? Doesn't matter if it's BCHL, OJHL, USHL, NOL. How do you really assess guys on a different level when they're all playing at different levels and in different environments?
Yeah, it's not easy. Do we get to see every player? No way. It's not feasible. But it's all about relationships. It's about connecting with the coaches, the youth coaches, the junior coaches, the prep school coaches. And it's while you're creating those relationships, you learn to trust different people. And we're on the phone an awful lot talking to coaches. And if some coach calls me and says, hey, here's a guy that fits what you're looking for, and he's someone that we trust and have a good relationship, we'll go out and see. And it's hard to compare leagues for sure. Leagues play different styles, some more wide open, some more defensive minded. So it's hard to assess. But what we try to look for is the most important component is for us, does a young man compete? If he competes, we'll find a place for him as long as he has good character. Because there's a lot of talented players in all the leagues throughout Canada and the U.S., but it's got to be the right fit for us. And I think that's what every program is trying to find. That's the magic in it, to try to find the right young man that fits to what we're trying to build and the culture we're trying to establish here at Sacred Heart.
Okay, I got one last question for you. When you played, you went and played in France, didn't you? How was that? I mean, what a country to live in and play hockey.
Unbelievable. As I used to come home and everyone would be like, hey, how was it over in France? I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. Met a lot of people. You know, you think of the U.S. and every corner, you know, there's a bank. And in Canada, at every corner, there's a rink. And in France, at every corner, there's a bar. It was a fun time. Learned a lot. Met a lot of great people. You know, unbelievable experience for sure.
CJ, thank you so much.
Yeah, no question. No question.
CJ Mariotolo right there, head coach, Sacred Heart University. Thank you so much for making time today and hopping on World Hockey Report. We really appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate being on. I appreciate all that you guys do for our sport.
Hey, thank you. Take care. CJ Mariotolo right there, head coach, Sacred Heart University. I had to ask the France one. It came to my mind mid-interview, and I was like, what a place to live and play hockey, especially if you're, you know, you're a young guy over there. It doesn't hurt that it's a good wine country. Not that hockey players need to be dipping into it, but it doesn't hurt.
I've been to France, and I've tried the French wine, and I had a great time. That's all I'm going to say.
Where'd you go in France? What was the best place?
It was over 10 years ago I went, so I'm due for another one. We traveled all over. I can't even remember which little That's place fair. We went, but yeah, I'm ready to go back for sure. Fun.
I've got a bias because I was never a Habs guy. Just, you know, it was just the French thing. I'm not an accent person. So I've never really had that interest to go to Paris. But again, I hear stories. Sounds like a pretty good place. I still got more on my bucket list before that, but had to get that out there. Hey, let's get to some more NHL news here for Pro Rock Hockey 6. Of course, Pro Rock's the absolute best. I want to get your takes on that Reeves-Graves situation in the Avs-Knights game, because Graves goes and lays out Janmark. Say what you want about it. Maybe it's a split second late. I don't think Janmark needs to admire a drop pass. I mean, you know, you should know better by that point. But then for Reeves, and it's a messy situation. There's a lot of bodies there. You can make whatever excuse you want, but you kneeled on a guy's head and you stayed there for a fair amount of time. I mean, two games. I don't know. Just give me your thoughts on the whole situation. I don't have one question for you.
Well, my first thought, Cody, is I don't think Reeves should have been eligible for game one based on that play on Ryan Suter in that game prior. So I don't think he should have been playing in that game, first thing. So then he comes in and he starts being an absolute wild card in that scrum. Like, there are so many layers to it. And Friege and Merrick were talking about it on 31 Thoughts. And they were just saying, like, the refs must, because we've seen all different angles of it. The refs, when they saw it, they saw something they didn't like. That's what they were talking about on it. And I agree. When I watch it, I look at two games and I just go, are you kidding me? But I also go with the Department of Player Safety. Nothing surprises me at this point. Nothing.
See, I think the Department of Player Safety does a great job, but someone's got to say that. Someone's got to give them a pat on the back there.
Do they? No, no, no. Does someone?
No. Someone just had to stir the pot. Okay, I agree with you on the Reeves and Graves situation. Absolutely not on the Reeves and Suter situation.
Seriously?
I think that was a freak accident. I don't think he went and pile-drived his face into the net. They collided on the ice. Reeves was heading in that direction, and it just happens. He goes and eats the post. I don't think it was I don't know if malicious intent is the right words to be using here, but I don't think that Reeves attempted to skate behind the net with the intention. I've probably said intention 19 times. It's sickening right now. But he probably just, like, I don't think he meant to go and run his face into the post. It's just happened. It sucks. It's a shitty situation, but I don't fault Reeves there.
I'm a fan of Reeves. I'm a fan of his play. I'm a fan of his work off the ice. I saw that play with Suter and I was horrified. I saw intent to injure. That's so already when I see Reeves lacing up for game one, I'm like, I don't necessarily agree with this. And then to see the two games, it was just, and the frustrating thing is when it happened, the game was already over. Like you could almost see it coming, and at that, like, it's reckless and it's dangerous. So I don't know. I look at between Suter and then with the Graves situation and the fact that two games came out of that. And I don't like comparing suspensions, especially with someone like Kadri, because it's kind of apples and oranges. Kadri's had, what, 75 suspensions in his life? But
close.
but even like I look at those two situations and then I look at the eight and I'm just going like, I just wish for a bit of consistency. Goaltender interference and Department of Player Safety suspensions, just give me a bit of consistency.
It's such a thankless job, though. That's where I feel bad. Refs, I couldn't stand refs when I'm playing. Now that I watch, I go, hey, they've got no hope in making the right calls all the time. Let us know your thoughts. So hit us up on Twitter anytime at World Hockey RPT Show, coming to you live, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, wherever 12-ounce sports goes. That's where you're going to be finding us right now. Let us know in the comments. What's your thoughts on the Reeves situation? What's your thoughts on the Department of Player Safety? Anything. We're here to debate it. We're here to discuss it. And of course, we're going to get your opinions out there. Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31. Katie's on Twitter at Katie Loris. Carey Price. What more can we say about this guy? I pick against him because I go, oh, bad regular season. Same thing with the Jets and Oilers. Like, why? I don't get why I kind of throw it out that, like, well, he still is one of the best Canadian goaltenders of all time, and he's playing in the playoffs. I don't know where that just goes over my head or how it goes over my head, but this guy is as cool as a cucumber, and I don't know where that staying comes from or what it means, but again, he just looks so calm out there. It makes his team unbelievably better. When they have the confidence to be like, oh, we scored two, we're winning.
It's so ridiculous. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, I can't sit here and pretend that I haven't dunked on Carey Price saying that he's not the same guy, whichever. And didn't Jake Allen play more than him in the regular season?
Like, well, he was injured too. There was some injury.
Yeah, when he was. Right. Yeah. But when he was playing, I'm just going, and I've spoken about it on every record, that I don't think Price is the same guy. And then he comes into the playoffs and it's like he goes into the phone booth and then spins around and comes out as Superman. He's a different human. I don't understand how he does it. And like you said, like, cool as a cucumber, watching him when they won. And that game, like, I know we're not going to get too much into game seven, but that's a franchise defining game for you could say for both teams. And he stands there and he's stone faced and everybody's skating up to him. And he's just kind of like, yeah, I did that. Like, he amazes me in so many different ways.
Oh, I mean, what a special player too. Like, just everything that he's gone through. I believe it's Anaheim Lake, the town. I'm just going off the top of my head, where he grew up in BC. I mean, like, flying in, flying out. You know, he was always kind of one of those guys too who people kind of went, oh, you know, it's the system in Tri-City. Oh, he played on Great World Junior teams. Oh, mm-hmm. You know, he's sheltered in Montreal until they tried to run him out of town. Imagine if he would have been in St. Louis instead of Halak. Different story there. Hey, you brought up game seven, though. Obviously, the Leafs are done. Choke job, whatever you want to call it. They fall out 3-1. Don't blame injuries here, but fix the Leafs with one move, Katie. I mean, this is one of the things that we like to do, where what do they do? If you can make one move to fix this team, what is it?
I typically love answering these questions, and this is one that I don't even have an answer for. And you've known this about me, that I've had questions about the Leafs since before the playoffs. I wasn't buying the hype, and this is for one reason and one reason only. Before I went to sports school, I studied sports psych. And if you, like, you just look at the tone of Leafs fans, and nobody was comfortable. And I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Nobody is comfortable amongst the fan base. So multiply that by about 1,000 when you're in that building, when you're part of the franchise. So there's the pressure of the outside world, and then there's the internal pressure of being a pro athlete, of being someone like Austin Matthews. So you go into that situation and you don't get your first shot in game seven until, I think, 6 minutes into the third. Like, hockey is such a mental game, and I've seen this coming from a mile away. I didn't necessarily think the Habs were going to win the series, but I didn't think the Leafs were going to sweep in four like everyone, because it's such a mental game. And because of that, I don't know what the answers are. Like, we spoke about this last time, where there was no excuses this season. None whatsoever. They have their core. They have their depth. They brought in veterans. They have good goaltending. They've got good defense. Like, this was it. And you're running through a division that in theory should be pretty easy, because A, you only played them the whole year. And then B, they're not as good as you. They're just not. And here we are. And because of that, I don't know how to go into that building and fix what's in their heads.
Now, I know the term soft gets overused, and I don't want to be that person, but that's just what I see out of their top guys. When I look at the Jesperi Kotkaniemis, the Brendan Gallaghers, they play a I don't know, a hard-nosed game, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. That's where I just wish, and Adam's the one that usually tweets and rips them. But again, I think that Matthews and Marner can bring a little bit more intensity to their game. And I think they will. I mean, we can't just cancel someone's career when they're, what, 24 years old? I don't even know how old they are, but they're not that old. I mean, not everyone wins when they're 22 years old. So let's give them some time. I get it. You can call the Leafs failures. You can laugh at them because their fans are annoying. But it is what it is. End of the day, these two players, I guarantee you, they're going to win Stanley Cups. They're going to be impactful NHL players. And that's that. That's the end of the story. Also, Elena hit us up in the comments, said, I'm a novice at knowing the game, but I agree with Katie. There's a lot of inconsistency in the safety. That's what you said. That's all you ask for out of Department of Player Safety. It's just hard to get consistency when every play is different. That's my thing, is how do you compare?
Yeah, but it's literally your job. Like, it's literally what your career is. Like, that's what you're there to do, is figure that out.
If you could pick one person to replace George Parros today, who is it on the spot?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that because you need to be super mega qualified for it. And that's why I can't just throw out a name, because I need to put in the work to see who would be good for that. Because Parros isn't necessarily impressing me with consistency. That's all.
I would have bet the farm you were going to say the Sedins on that one. I thought that was the lock of the century that you
absolutely
were going to say.
Not.
Oh, I don't know. I thought some Vancouver bias might end up popping off out of that one. Alrighty, after, you know, we still will. I got to get your thoughts on the Avs Vegas still. Maybe some prediction for Jets Habs tonight. But let's head off to a commercial break. Everyone knows Lord Co Auto Parts are all Hockey Canada, IIHF Worlds are going on. So let's talk to the man himself. It's Rod Black from TSN Sports. After the break, Cody Jansen, Katie Caldwell with you right here. World Hockey Report coming to you live. 12 Ounce Sports Lingo TV channel 761. Hey, we talked about, you know, World Championships last time we were on with Jillian Kammerer, and Canada was off to a terrible start. Well, now they got themselves in the dance. They're going to play Russia in the quarterfinals, so we had to bring on the man who's covering it for TSN Sports, Rod Black, brought to you by Coho Hockey. Go check him out today. K-Pro Shop, Coho Talk Space coming after Game 2, Habs Jets Friday night. Be sure to check that out at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. Rod joins us now. Hey, we appreciate you making time for us. Obviously, I would say I'm shocked Canada gets in. They had to wait right until the end of Germany, Latvia. But wow, now they face Russia in the quarterfinals. What a task to start, Rod. What are you looking forward to in that one?
Well, I hope you can hear me. You can hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds great.
Nice to be with you, first of all. It's the first day I've been actually outside in a decent hour, not sleeping, because this World Hockey Championship, as you guys know, was in the middle of the night. Ray Ferraro does not like getting up in the middle of the night, by the way. So, and it's a rare day off for all of us. It's a 17-day, 64-game. It's very much like the being at an Olympics, so it's a little crazy. So yeah, it has been wild to watch the dominoes fall for Canada. I mean, this has been really a world's of firsts, you guys, if you've been watching, and it's a very different world. I mean, it's a very different world we live in as well, you know, and I do think it's all related to the pandemic, and we don't have maybe the star power that we normally would have at this championship, but you know, and Sweden's not in for the first time in 84 years in the top eight, which is crazy. And Canada almost didn't make it. For Canada to play Russia, you look in, you can say, hey, you know, Canada kind of was lucky to squeak in. A lot of stuff had to happen. I think they had a lucky horseshoe stuck up their hockey pants somewhere in many ways, because so many things had to happen. There was eight different scenarios, and you know, they needed a lot of help, and they got the help, surprisingly. And it happened that way. So you look at it, and I didn't think Canada really played particularly well early in the tournament, and a lot of young players who had never played before with each other. I don't even think they knew each other's names at the beginning, which was a rarity. And you would look at it tomorrow and say, you know, Canada probably hasn't got a chance. But here's my thing. Everything that you predict in this tournament, you go the other way. So if you're a betting person, I still think that Canada probably has a bit of a puncher's chance against Russia. Now, having said that, Russia, you know, had added some recruits, and you know, Vladimir Tarasenko's come over, Dmitry Orlov's come over. They have helped out right away, but I still think there's something about the Russian team that kind of is missing from years past. So that's a long answer, and I'm sorry about that. But this is the first time in like 12 days that I haven't had talked to the world about the world for a few minutes. So it has been a wild ride. So yeah, I guess, for our viewers' sake, I think at home, you know, we'd like to see Canada stay in it. And mm-hmm. I do think they have, you know, probably, like I said before, a legitimate shot. They've got to play better hockey.
Oh, great answer. We love that. So, Rod, I want to pivot to the NHL playoffs. Of mm-hmm. course, I have to ask, because it's the question that's on everyone's mind, where do the Maple Leafs go from here?
Oh, boy. That is such a good one. You know, I heard you guys talking beforehand. And I live in Toronto. I'm from Winnipeg originally. So, and I grew up a Habs fan. And I'm kind of, once you get in this business, probably like you guys, you know, you kind of lose your fandom a little bit and you kind of root for great games. But I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to have to sit back and really evaluate for a few days. They can't. I do think there will be some changes and there could be organizational changes, but I don't think you can make that quick twitch move right now, that knee jerk reaction, because it's so fresh and it's so raw. And by the way, rewind this tape from last year, then rewind it from the years past. And it's clear that this team was built. They thought they had built a team in Toronto to be a playoff contender. And as we have found out in this new, again, you know, in bubble hockey in the Northern Division, playoffs are different. And Montreal showed it, and they had great heart and a great goaltender. I think they're going to make changes? I do think. Do I think they're going to touch the core? I really don't think they're going to touch the core. I think they have to stay with that. I know there's people like right now, I feel bad for Mitch Marner, who is a great hockey player and a great kid. But guess what? This is sports. And you get paid to do what you get paid to do. And quite frankly, Mitch Marner didn't do anything in the playoffs. And he didn't score. He was supposed to score. But I do think, you know, obviously I don't think Joe Thornton's going to be back. I would try to keep Jason Spezza if I was them. I wouldn't have said that at the beginning of the year because it, you know, you look at his birth certificate and Jason's actually really still got a lot. And I think he's been taking some skating and he might even be getting, he's like Benjamin Button getting better as he gets older. So I think it's there. I still think they're missing some significant pieces and probably at the back end. And I know people are going to, you're probably wondering if I would say that they have to change their coach. I think that is in the air. I think that, you know, they'll be evaluating Sheldon Keefe's job. And there are people out there. I think they'll evaluate Brendan Shanahan's job. I think they'll evaluate Kyle Dubas's job. Because you have to, because guess what? They failed. They not just failed, they choked. They collapsed. And it is as bad as the one against Boston a few years ago in my mind, because I don't think the three of us would be sitting here today. I'm sure you agree, when the Leafs were up 3-1, that we'd be sitting here today unless an asteroid hit the planet, that the Leafs wouldn't be going to the next round. So I do think some change is coming.
Well, you said it exactly. They choked. So I think mm-hmm. the fan base doesn't have a lot of patience if they just continue on this path they're on without making those changes.
They haven't had patience for 54 years.
So earlier, Rod, we were... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said, I just think it's... Do you guys live in Toronto? I don't even know that. I should know that.
I'm out in Edmonton.
I'm British Columbia.
Oh, there you go. So you really don't care. So there you go. And like the most rest of Canada, everybody else in Canada, but the Leaf fans, they travel well, like Yankee fans and Red Sox fans. And, you know, the it's an iconic team. And maybe because of the frustration, I always say, here's the thing. If I always said, if I am going to die tomorrow, I want my pallbearers to all be Toronto Maple Leaf players so they can let me down one more time. That's how a Leaf fan feels. And again, yeah. I'm not a fan. But here's the thing. I also cover basketball. And I covered the Toronto Raptors. And they won an NBA championship because they made some cultural changes within their organization. I think the Leafs made some significant high-end, good player changes. Obviously, getting John Tavares, you know, getting the luck of the ping pong balls with Marner and Matthews. And they did some really good things. But I don't still think that they have a winning culture. There's a winning culture. And it's interesting we're talking about world hockey. Do you notice who the guy who actually played the best for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs was? Who in your mind? William Nylander, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know that William Nylander didn't have a great season? But here's the thing. The residue of winning sticks in your mouth and you learn from experience. And the Leafs, quite frankly, haven't had any of that. They went and got Joe Thornton, who's never won a Stanley Cup. You know, a lot of the guys they went and got haven't won. Zach Bogosian has. I thought Bogosian played really well in this series. But William Lienhalder, when he went to the World Championships, was a star. And being at a World Championship, I think, is really good for a lot of players to get in the environment. The Leafs haven't been in that winning environment, the cultural environment. And so the Raptors went out and got Kawhi Leonard, and he taught them how to win. And I really do believe that. I think the Leafs have to learn how to win. I can't believe that we're saying that still. They still do not know how to win big games. Simple.
I completely agree with you. And Cup rings, Jake Muzzin do, and they're without Jake. Yep. So it's...
Well, and that's a track. You know, that honestly, that killed them a lot too. You know, Jake going down. I mean, the Tavares injury certainly was awful. Awful. Mm-hmm. And I was actually surprised he was actually back skating. And they really missed John Tavares. Mm-hmm. But Jake Muzzin's injury, as soon as you saw him, you know, tweak that, that's a... I was in studio with Dave Reed, and we both said, no, and he's done for the series and probably a few weeks. So, yeah, you know, it's not even so much, even if you have cup winners on your team, you've got to create an environment where you go out and step on people's throats. And I know that sounds harsh, but it's sports. And when you're up 3-1, the Leafs laid back and played not to lose instead of trying to win. And when you do that, and I think I've seen them watch them do that for many, many years, especially against really good teams, you're going to lose. And it goes back to last year. I didn't think they made great adjustments. I thought Sheldon Keefe got completely outcoached in this series. And it's harsh. Those words are all harsh, by the way. That doesn't mean that I don't like any of those guys, and I don't like the future of the team. It's just, that's the reality of sport. When you lose, you gotta face the maker. It's like all of us, you know, if you, you don't perform, guess what? You gotta answer to your bosses. And so that's what I'm sure every Maple Leaf player is doing on their exit interviews today.
It's accountability. It's important. So we've been talking goaltending all show because I think it's going to be a common theme in the series coming up. Price or Hellebuck, who's doing it?
Oh, they're both great goalies. I do think that Montreal's, I don't want to be Craig Button. I'm sure you guys have heard what Craig Button said. You do. I mean, Craig, I love the Craig actually choked this morning himself on some crow that he was eating. But and I love Craig. And that was an easy one to say that Montreal wouldn't. I don't think Montreal is the most talented team. I think they're the least talented team in the playoffs. And that's nothing. Sorry, Montreal fans, but that's true. But they have more heart than maybe most teams in the playoffs. And heart wins. And Carey Price is all time. I love that stat that 17 of the top 18 highest paid players in the NHL are not in the playoffs right now.
Yep.
And only one is. Carey Price. And that says a lot. But I think Connor Hellebuck could, somewhere down the road, the way he's been playing and what he's done in his pedigree, I'm sure you guys that we're going to be talking about Connor Hellebuck the same way down the road. You know, I watched him at the World. Again, I go back to the Worlds. I watched him at the Worlds. He got a taste of what it's like to be in the big time at that time when he was younger. He's a great goalie. And they're going to need him, Winnipeg. But Winnipeg, I think, is a lot tougher team than Toronto, tougher and grittier. And I do think that there's a really good opportunity that Montreal will not, you know, Montreal, two goals. If Montreal scores two goals, Winnipeg's, that's not going to be enough. And I think they will definitely look at the tape for what Toronto did, and they were going to attack the crease a lot more. So I do pick Winnipeg to win, but it's going to be, I think we're going to see some 10 bell saves. I don't know about you guys. They're going to be some highlight 1v1 stuff from both of those guys. Mm-hmm. They're fabulous goalies. One, a future Hall of Famer, and one probably, a Hall of Famer right now.
Both.
You know?
Oh, I mean, as a former goalie, I think, you know, we've got the best Canadian goalie and the best American goalie going head to head. What more can you ask for?
Goalie. Okay. You're a former goalie.
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll speak a little slower for you.
Oh, jeez, Rod. Don't do me like this online.
I'm only kidding.
Hey, it's World Hockey Perps from Red Lord Co. Auto Parts. We got a couple minutes left, Rod, and I want to ask you because, hey, we've had Craig, we've had Ray, we've had Gord on the show. You work at TSN. You work with so many characters. Dave comes to mind, too. I got to get a funny story from working with these guys. Like, you must have the time of your life on set with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I do so many different sports too. So, I mean, yeah. And I don't do as much. I only really do the international hockey. I don't do as much NHL stuff, even though I follow it intensely. Oh gosh, I could tell you stories upon stories. I love the story of Ray the other day when he was doing an interview. I don't think it was with you guys. He was doing it with Overdrive and he was golfing at the same time. Did you see that on no. Twitter? Oh, no. Look it up. For all your viewers and listeners, just look up. I think it was Dan Murphy was playing with them, and Ray had his earbuds on, and he was doing the interview between shots at a golf course in Vancouver, and he's talking about Carey Price. It's like Chris Priceless takes the shot and he just continues on. But I love all these. I love everybody I work with, and another one. I do a lot of women's hockey. I really feel bad that the women's world. I was actually very angry at the time that I thought they should have had a better contingency plan in place, and nothing against Halifax. You saw what happened in Nova Scotia. They should have had somewhere to go. The IIHF should have had somewhere to go. I mean, there were rinks available in bubbles, but I really love working with Cheryl Pounder and Tessa Benham, and we get a chance to do the women's worlds, which will come up, in August. I know it will happen.
Hey, we broke that news. You got to give us credit there, Ron. I broke that one. I said August, Edmonton, Calgary. That's what we were told. I've got a couple of sources who may play on a couple of international teams.
I don't know if you know, Cody, but they just changed it. It's now actually in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
That was a dream I had. No, but they should have had it anyway. With the women that I work with, the great broadcasters that I work with, we have a ball when we go away, especially at the Worlds. And Cheryl Pounder is one of the greatest. Out of all the TSN characters I know, honestly, the analysts, she is one of the greatest characters I know. All you got to talk about is Flashdance with her. This girl, as soon as Flashdance comes on, she's dancing. And it's absolutely wild. And I guess it goes back to her playing days. But she's certainly one of the characters. I work with Leo Routens, and I'm sure that one went viral as well when he had a little bit of a stomach issue on TV. And I came back and I said, we have a gas, just in case you're wondering, we had a gas leak in the studio. And unfortunately, Sam Mitchell and Leo and I could not get a word out of our mouths, mostly because of the smell, but also because we were giggling so hard.
Oh my goodness.
We have a lot of, hey, that's the bottom line. And I'm sure the two of you as well, you have got to have fun, and they are only games. Huh. And even though the Leafs and what we're talking about, it does sound like serious and it is business. It's still fun. It still brings us back every single day. And you know that as sorry, Toronto fans, yeah, it's over, but there's so many, if you love your province and you love your city, there's so many Toronto born players and Canadian born players who are now in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Stanley Cup playoffs are incredible right now. And you look at Colorado. I mean, that was kind of my cup winner going in. They're really, really good. Winnipeg, really, really good. Boston's really, really good. And so despite all of that, Toronto fans, it would have been a tough go the next little while. Everybody said, Stanley Cup or bust. Well, man, I don't know.
Rod, thank you so much for taking the time here. We got to let you go. But again, we really appreciate it. And enjoy the quarterfinals. Let's go, Canada. Let's hope they can pull one off.
Yeah. Hey, everything happens. Everything's happened. Like, they've had all the help. The only thing now is
win hockey
nobody
games.
Can help them but themselves.
There it is. Thanks, Rod. Have a good one.
All right.
Rod Black right there from TSN Sports. Katie, we got to put this one in high gear. Where are we going to bench today for our friends at Quack Stats, the most advanced player tracking technology? Follow them on Instagram at @Quack_stats. Who are you benching today?
Today, I'm benching anyone that is going out of their way to bully players on their social media. Be a human being. It's not cool. It's not funny. It's not helping. Don't be a psychopath.
No, you're a scumbag if you go on like Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner's Instagram. You're such a loser to do that. That's a good one. Now I feel bad. I shouldn't even say mine at this point. Okay, I'm going to bench Pete DeBoer, though, for a much less reason. I don't know if it's load management or what, but I mean, to go with Leonard in game number one, that wasn't a good choice. I'm sorry. You got absolutely hammered. Fleury's a professional. You can let him play hockey games. If Grant Fear can start 79 in a season, I think Fleury can start 8 in 2 weeks, whatever it was. Alrighty, mybookie.ag, better than I use promo code 120Z Sports, all caps, no spaces. Who do you like tonight? I don't care if it's Jets or Habs or Avs, Vegas. I got Avs in regulation. Who do you like?
Jets in regulation, I think.
Wow.
They get it. They slip a couple past Carey Price.
I think the Jets are going to be sleepy. I think the Habs are going to jump on them. I've been wrong once or twice, though. Don't usually admit to it. Hey, use promo code 120ZSports if you're hopping on mybookie.ag. Everyone, don't forget, teamed up with the Hockey Podcast Network to produce the pod. Download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. That's going to do it. Huge thanks, Jamie Rattray. What an interview there. We got to get more female hockey players on, because I feel like we could have talked to her for half an hour. I wanted to ask, like, hey, is the bubble kind of like the NHL bubble, where they're like, everyone's just getting after it once you're in quarantine? Like, I feel like there's so many funnier stories we could probably dive into down the road. CJ Maritolo, head coach, Sacred Heart University, Ron Black, TSN Sports. Download the podcast wherever in case you missed any of the interviews. That's going to do it for us. Everyone, have a good Wednesday.